This is Radio Truth, a series of commentaries by Dr. Michael Parenti. Michael Parenti is an activist and internationally known award-winning author and scholar. His recent books include The Assassination of Julius Caesar and Super Patriotism. His latest book, The Culture Struggle, is now available. For further information, please visit his website, michaelparenti.org.
The crime craze. This society is soft on crime when it comes to corporate crime, but it's not soft when it comes to the street crimes of the poor. A Norfolk, Virginia man got 10 years for stealing 87 cents. A youth in Louisiana received 50 years for selling a few ounces of marijuana. A Houston youth was sentenced to 50 years for robbing two people of a dollar. A five-time petty offender in Dallas was sentenced to 1,000 years in prison for stealing $73. A man caught trying to break into a house in Florida, thus violating his probation for shoplifting, was sentenced to life in prison. In Texas, a man was sentenced to 30 years for possession of a small amount of heroin. Lawmakers of both mainstream political parties have vied in their efforts to be tough on crime. Between 1980 and 2000, prison sentences doubled in length, while prison and jail populations tripled. Many states are now spending more on prison than on education. By 2004, more than 2 million U.S. residents were behind bars, giving the United States the highest incarceration rate in the world. About 5.5 million, 3 of every 100 U.S. adults, are either incarcerated or on parole or doing probation. Some people maintain that the tougher lock-em-up policy has brought a lower crime rate, but there are states and municipalities with low incarceration rates that also show a drop in crime, sometimes more dramatic decreases than locales with high incarceration rates. States that have imposed a draconian 3-strikes-and-you're-out law show no greater drop in violent crime than states without a 3-strikes-you're-out. The drop in crime has come because of the demographics. A lower number of young men in that 18 to 30 category. In 85% of cases in California, the third strike in the 3-strike system has often been for relatively minor or nonviolent offenses committed by persons who were otherwise mending their lives. The war on drugs is most responsible for the prison population explosion. Playing upon public fears about narcotics, lawmakers throughout the country outdid themselves in passing harsh, mandatory drug sentences. The result is that 3/4 of our federal and state inmate population consists mostly of young, petty drug offenders serving astronomical prison sentences. Many first offenders in nonviolent drug cases are averaging more time in jail than felons with long records, including mobsters, murderers, child molesters, and rapists. Not all narcotics violations are treated severely. Close relatives of U.S. senators and representatives have received suspended sentences or had their charges dropped. For example, the son of Representative Dan Burton, Republican of Indiana, was arrested for transporting nearly 8 pounds of marijuana in Louisiana, then arrested again for possession of 30 marijuana plants in Indiana. Federal authorities declined to prosecute. Indiana prosecutors recommended dismissal of the charges, and a Louisiana judge sentenced young Burton to, you guessed it, community service. While treating small-time dealers and users with severity, the war on drugs hardly touches the big narcotic cartels. Legislation to stop the laundering of drug money through legitimate financial institutions remains virtually unenforced. When Richard Hell resigned as head of the FBI's San Francisco office, he remarked, "There's never been any war on drugs, just much manipulation of appearances to give the public the impression that something is being done." This is Michael Parenti for Radio Truth.
This commentary was produced by the LA Sound Posse. You can visit us on the web at lasoundposse.org.